chain on those minutes. Sorry for the technical hiccup. If I may be allowed to continue. So the presentation will cover a brief on the legislative framework pertaining to departments, entities, municipalities. It will then give you a sense of what the debt is, organs of state debt owed to municipalities, and some of the initiatives that are in place to try and rectify this situation. So from the PFMS side, section 78.1F and 78.4B clearly articulate that payments to creditors must take place within 30 days. And this refers to the owners of state owing municipalities, and specifically to the owners of state departments owing municipalities for services and property rates. Now, section 51.1B, subsection 1 of the PFMA also requires that the public entities take appropriate steps to collect what is due to them. By saying so, the water boards must collect what is due to them and implement the credit control measures, including the measures outlined in section 5.4 of the Water Services Act, which allows for restriction of water when necessary. Any intervention which prevents the water board from collecting revenue in this aspect will be in conflict with the PFMA. On the municipal side, section 65.2E indicates that all monies due or owed must be paid within 30 days as well. So the emphasis here is the 30-day time frame for payment. The MSA, on the other hand, chapter 9, credit control and debt management, section 96, municipalities must collect all monies due, and for this purpose, must adopt and maintain and implement the credit control and debt collection policy. So this gives you a sense of all the legislation pertaining to owners of state, that is departments owing municipalities, entities owed money, and customers owing municipalities money or every amount. Now having said that, I'd like to give you a sense of what the Section 71 report for the fourth quarter and the 1819 for June indicates. And here the cash position at that point in time was 50.1 billion. It also indicated that 45 municipalities have negative cash positions. I apologize, this slide is not in your pack. It was a late addition. I apologize, honorable members and honorable chair. So 45 municipalities have negative cash position, and it increased of 20 municipalities from the third quarter. The creditors amount, on the other hand, is 60.2 billion. Included in this amount is ESCOM, the amounts owed to ESCOM, 28.6 billion, and water, 9.6 billion. And the rear amounts in brackets, as indicated. On the other hand, municipalities are owed by debtors 165.5 billion. 165.5 billion, honorable members. And this comprises of government debt. We talk about organs of state debt of 10.2 billion, commercial owing municipalities 24.7 billion, and household, which is the largest component of the debt owed to municipalities, of 118.5 billion, 71.7%. So, on one hand, municipalities are owed large amounts of money, 165.5 billion. But on the other hand, municipalities are also owing bulk suppliers and the ESCOM water and SMMEs, which is not reflected on the screen. Further representation of the same figure shows you the increase from 2014-15. When the debt was 106.6 billion, it is now 18-19, and the debt stands at 165.5 billion. And the graph on the right-hand side shows you the increase over the years by the different customer type. The next slide gives you an indication of how Ogun State debt, ultimately between 2014 and 2019, has increased. So in 2014, the debt was 3.85 billion. Over the years, 2019, the debt now stands at 10.2 billion. So there's been an escalation of debt of money pulled by departments, import services, and property rates to municipalities. To give you a further breakdown of the debt owed by Ogun State for the period ending June 2019, that's the fourth quarter Section 51 results. By customer type, the national figure shows that 3.4 billion is owed by national departments to municipalities. On the provincial side, you have 5.8 billion owed to municipalities, and you have a component of other of just under 1 billion. The age analysis is broken down, and it shows you that debt over 181 days is the largest component. Oh, sorry, debt over 1 year is the largest component of 4.4 billion. And in all of in the national and provincial sector, the Department of Public Works is the largest culprit for debt owed to municipalities, as indicated on the screen. So some of the challenges associated with debt owed to municipalities. And I'll give you a perspective from the department side, as well as from the municipal side. So from the side of the departments, the largest component of debt increasing is the ownership issue. Ownership with regards to properties on the incorrect name, configuration, and some from the old dispensation that still exists, which creates a problem in the books of the municipality. Municipalities then attempt to bill someone, but they're not sure who they're billing. And this creates a huge problem and escalates the debt. Now remember, if you miss a payment of 30 days, straight away the interest starts kicked in, and it compounds the debt owed at that point in time. Vesting, assigning the custodial responsibility to departments, and then state domestic facilities uncertainty, lack of domestic facilities, state domestic facilities, lack of proper lease agreements and MOAs. There's no clear indication of what the arrangement is with the Department of Public Works and the department that's leasing the property from them. So it creates a problem on the side of the municipality on who they should be billing for what. Now remember, the Department of Public Works is the custodian of the property. Therefore, they're responsible for the property rates of that property. Yet the services that the department or the leasing department consumes need to be paid to the municipality. And that's where, if there's no proper lease agreement or MOA, then it confuses who's responsible for this debt. Some of the provinces claim that the allocation, the equitable share allocation that they receive, is insufficient to cover the bill from the municipality. Now, and it's obvious. Remember that the equitable share increase over the years has not been as fast as what the rate of increase on the tariffs that the municipalities impose over the years. So you get a situation where, as an example, the equitable share increases by 5%, yet tariffs that the municipality imposes on their customers increase by 8%. So there's always a lag of 3% that needs to be covered. And there's always the situation of unresponsiveness of departments during the property rates and objection process. Now, at the department, like any other customer of the municipality, has an opportunity to object when the valuation role when a new valuation rule is implemented. However, departments fail to object at that point in time, and this creates a problem. Failure of Section 21 schools to pay for services. Again, there's unclear responsibilities and rules who should be paying for that services. And on the side of municipalities, now, there's always been the indication that the Section 71 reports are overstated. And this has been very clear by the department owing municipalities monies or arrears. They also complain that municipalities, after receiving amounts from the department, don't allocate it quick enough to the appropriate accounts. Hence, it's staying in a suspense account, and it still reflects as unpaid on the side of the municipality. Incorrect tariffs being applied to properties. There's always the situation of tariffs not being properly captured on the system. Hence, you have a situation where that there will be an incorrect tariff being applied to a property of certain nature. Again, the largest one is incorrect billing. Now, all of this here relates to incorrect billing. If you don't have a proper data on the customer tax, there will be an incorrect bill. Hence, in the books of municipality, the debt will escalate. There's also the unclear user ownership relationship that we spoke about earlier. So these are some of the challenges, the obvious challenges that have been identified for the debt escalating at the municipal level. But the biggest one is the ownership issue. And later I'll tell you what are some of the initiatives that we've instituted to try and address this problem of ownership issue. Now, National Treasury, as well as some of the other custodian departments, national departments, have met as a task team on several occasions to try and resolve this matter. Safe to say that in 2004 and 5, National Treasury had made 600 million rand available to resolve and clear all outstanding debt to municipalities. Unfortunately, at that point in time, the claim on that amount of 600 million was only 200 million by the municipalities. Hence, the 400 million was returned to the fiscus at that point in time. And the situation we find ourselves in now is a manifestation of that same situation over the years. So at the national level, there's an intergovernmental debt forum consisting of Department of Public Works, COPTA, National Treasury, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, SELDA, to try and resolve the Orlando State debt with the current situation. As a result, this has also established, forced to establish debt forums in East Province to try and deal with the outstanding debt and resolve disputes between provincial departments and municipalities with the aim of settling arrear amounts. Now, trying to resolve or trying to deal with the ownership issue at that point in time is fruitless if you haven't dealt with all. Can I give you an example? If you were to buy a property on a personal basis, it has to go through a legal process of change of name for that property. Exactly the same appears with the ownership issues that have incorrect naming configurations with the provincial department and public works. It has to go through a legal process to get the name changed on the property. Now, on the side of the municipalities will bill according to what they have on their records. So if, as an example, they have a property named under RSA, right? They will still bill RSA, but who is RSA? Can you understand what the situation is? So this has manifested the escalation of the debt over the years, and we are trying to deal with that going forward. So in 2015, the Department of Public Works also took a process to verify the debt owed by departments to municipalities. And it was a vigorous process. The service providers that were appointed at that point in time went to each municipality and were a sign upon the ministry to say what was owed to them in 2015, at that point in time. However, the process fell short. Whatever the ministry said was owed to them needed to be verified on the side of the department as well. And the department had to sign off on the same figure. If there was consensus on that same figure, then the money will follow. But in that situation, many departments were unresponsive, and the debt now stands at 10.2 billion. So in 2019, National Treasury had made available 100 million as an indicative allocation to try and resolve the ownership issue. Right? Now, the amount is not sufficient to deal with the entire country's problem with ownership, but it was an indication to start off the process with the intention of building a case for more money in the future to deal with this problem. We are busy piloting this project in Limpopo, which had showed us that they had started the process at that point in time and had made some progress, and therefore we're piloting with what they can assist us with. So we're trying to resolve 6,000 properties in the Limpopo province where the naming configuration and the ownership issue is not clear. So at the start, over the 2019, 50 million in this year, 50 million in next year, we will try and see how far we go with the resolving of the ownership issues. So that was the process with Department of Public Works to try and rectify the earlier debt situation. But National Treasury also took this seriously, and the Forum of South African Director General, FOSAT, insisted that National Treasury present on the progress on a bi-monthly basis on invoices that were outstanding with regards to 30-day payments. So this was a biannual basis. On 30th November 2011, National Treasury then issued an instruction note requesting accounting officers of departments to report on the relevant to the relevant treasuries on the number of, and the value of invoices paid after 30 days. So this was a serious concern for us because it is in direct conflict of the regulation, of the legislation. National Treasury also wrote to the CFOs of all departments informing them the failure to facilitate timeliest payment to the relevant person due will be construed as an act of financial misconduct, and consequences will then be brought on such a matter. The Minister of Finance at that point in time also at the interim task team in May 2018 indicated that National Treasury was willing to settle payments to municipalities that were owed by all the states from the equitable share allocation due to the department. He still needs to make the current minister still needs to pronounce on that process going forward. We are also in close contact with our Office of the Accountant General to try and resolve some of the matters, the accounting matters around what we think are some of the incentives to deal with the situation. And this consists of debt the write-off of interest, stop the interest from escalating. I apologize to that the chair and I'm not sure why the analogy has don't have slides. But nonetheless, again,
I cannot see. That means in front of me there.
Come this side.
Wait.
during all the presentation, she said allow honorable members to
come to the meeting.
So, thank you, Honorable Paul. That's progressive. What is that?
Ja, so will ich hier auch. Ich bin jetzt eher dick, Dinge.
You can see the big screen there.
I think I can see the big screen there. Thanks, Chair. Please tell Jay. Tell it here, will I not speak to the name? You take it.
Yes, actually, you must get the correct presentation.
You take it. Don't put anything. Thank you, Chair. We can continue. Thank you, Imake. Waardeer my skat.
So the last point on the slide, Chair, refers to the 100 million and which I spoke to in the previous slide that have been available to resolve the ownership challenge with departments on this matter. Now, again, the previous presenter spoke about the IMTT process and what it contains, and National Treasury is actively involved in that same process, so I'm not going to spend time on this slide as such, but just to talk to some of the recommendations that what we as National Treasury are involved in. So, just... So National Treasury has been tasked from the recommendations that the previous presenter presented on the IMTT to draft a process to deal with defaulting municipalities, as well as to renegotiate the debt structure of arrears owed to ESCOM and the water boards. And National Treasury has met with ESCOM to date to renegotiate the arrear amounts owed to them by municipalities. We're exploring the opportunity to deal with the water boards, considering that it's not one water board that we're dealing with, but several water boards. And we are trying to explore a similar process with the water boards. But just to give you some of the main points of discussion around the restructuring of debt, arrear debt. Now, the first and foremost indicator would be for a municipality to present a funded budget. We are not negotiating on this, and on the next slide I will present to you what the process is to deal with this here. But insisting on a funded budget suggests that current accounts will be included in that budget. So first and foremost, we are dealing with the culture of payment, so we want the current accounts to be included and to be paid religiously on a monthly basis. Right? Now we're not talking about the arrear debt. The second part of this talks about ring-fencing the arrear debt. And here we're saying that if you ring-fence the arrear debt, then we can deal with it through a separate process. But first, it's a culture of payment through regular payments on the current accounts, on the monthly accounts. Right? We are then talking to the OEG, the Office of the Accountant General, who's the custodian of the PFMA, on stopping the interest from escalating on that arrear amount. because we find that municipalities are making payments towards arrear amounts owed to ESCOM and the water boards. However, the amount that they are paying is not making a dent in the total amount because of the arrear of the escalation of interest on that amount over time. So we think that by ring fencing the amount and containing it as a non-increasing figure, the municipalities will know what they're working towards. And here we're talking about also the wavering of interest from in the form of exemption or deviation, and we're still waiting on an opinion from the Office of the Accountant General. Where it is absolutely evident that municipality will not be in a position to honor its obligation, we will consider a possible incentive-based write-off in that situation. And I'm saying it won't be for everyone, but it will be on a case-by-case basis. We'll also look at revising the payment arrangement country signed, because we, as our previous speaker indicated, many of the payment arrangements signed by municipalities with the bulk suppliers were near compliance, just so that they keep the lights on or they keep the water flowing as easy as that. So we're saying that these payment arrangements have to be revised, and in revising them, there will be a process to look at their affordability and the threshold that they have to pay against this arrear amount. So that's on the debt restructure. Now, the process to deal with defaulting municipalities. So what we've done as National Treasury, we've identified 100 municipalities that we think require support or intervention. And these 100 include 30 of the current 40 municipalities that have intervention. And COCTA shared that information with us. And we're insisting that these municipalities revise their budgets currently or immediately to a funded state because of they have adopted unfunded budgets. Now, let me just explain. What does an unfunded budget mean? So a council that adopts an unfunded budget is simply telling us that they will be spending money that they don't have. Let me rephrase that. They plan to spend money that they don't have, because at that point in time, it's only a plan, right? So we're insisting that your plan must indicate what you're going to do, and therefore we're insisting that the budget must be funded, right? If your collection rate at the municipal level is 50%, then your expenditure budget must be aligned to the 50%. Now, in our experience, what we found that many municipalities, the historic trend shows that your, as an example, your collection rate has been 50%, yet your new budget is based on a 35% collection rate. So immediately the municipalities are spending against the 35%, only to realize that during the year they cannot collect that amount. And therefore, they are not adjusting their expenditure budget to be in line with their collection rate. So these are some of the technical things that we are trying to resolve. So we're insisting on a funded budget. Currently, municipalities have written to municipalities to tell them to retable the budget to be in a funded state, and we're giving them special permission to do that outside the adjustment budget process. It will be a special adjustment budget. So currently, municipalities and provincial treasuries are working hard at getting these budgets to be at a funded state. Right? And here we'll be insisting that the funded state of municipalities may want to revise some of the assumptions made in the original budgets, a high collection rate, and some of the expenditure items that they would have made assumptions on. They may want to reduce expenditure, even to the extent of removing internal funds from the capital program. Now, having an unfunded budget, you'll find that many municipalities having unfunded budget means that they do not have cash, they will not have cash at the end of the financial year, yet they want to contribute towards the capital program. And that's not possible, because the money will not be realized. We wanted to develop improvement measures, and here we're saying that it can be a revenue enhancement strategy that the municipality adopts, But that measure, that strategy must be presented to council, and there must be a resolution associated with that. And we want, as far as possible, to restore the culture of payment of current accounts. And that's where it starts. Revise unrealistic and non-affordable payment arrangements. And these are some of the things we will look at in that technical discussion with municipalities to try and correct going forward. Now, in all of this, if you don't have monitoring, strong monitoring and oversight, then there's a possibility that municipalities will relapse into the original state. So stronger monitoring and oversight is required on the implementation end. Strong analysis of the in-year reporting, the section 21 reporting, and to identify immediate crisis or foreseeable crisis of the municipality through the section 21 report. So we want to improve on the analysis of the section 21 to pick up immediately some of the looming challenges that will be facing the municipality and trying to address it at that point in time. Progress will be reported to the budget and financial management subcommittee. So there has been a subcommittee established to our TCF, our Technical Committee on Finance, where the HODs of finances from all provinces attend, and we will be presenting this to them going forward. And lastly, Chair, recommendations. It is recommended that the portfolio committee, human settlement, water and sanitation, note the legislative framework, the PFMA, MFMA, and MFA, that regulate the payments of creditors within 30 days. Note the challenges that government is confronted with and is trying to address by exploring options to find a systematic and sustainable solution going forward. And note the work with regards to the government debt and the progress made by the public works in addressing the ownership control issue that will assist with issuing of correct bills for government departments in the future. Note the initiative and progress made under the legislative leadership of the INTQ, which includes all creditors, but a specific focus on Eskom and water board and water debt. And note the initiative to restructure municipal debt. And note the initiatives to assist municipalities to correct their budget to accommodate at least payments of current accounts with regards to Eskom and water boards and water debt. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Bekunzi Charles Stofile. I'm the member of the National Executive Committee of SALGA, responsible for cooperative governance and traditional affairs. I'm with Councillor Soma Ash Ngobane. Is the National Committee member of SALGA responsible for the item that we're discussing today. And then we have William, who is the technical support to ourselves, and Janine. Let me start, Chair, to appreciate and welcome and say this is not the first interaction that we have with this committee. On the fourth and the fifth committee, including the interactions that we have with the ministry that were leading those departments in the fifth administration. How I wish, Chair, the debate it should be about debt. How I wish the debate should have been about debt. If you listen to National Treasury, 165 billion owed to municipality. If those billions were paid to municipality, we could have been having a different conversation today. Secondly, Chair, but unfortunately we are dealing with matter of water. Yes, a few days ago on the SCOPA, we raised this matter that it's unfortunate the Parliament focused on the issue-based matters. The bigger challenge in the country is the lack of servicing debt by all of us. national, provincial, and local state, including business. I mean, Treasury is talking very good there. I would want to hear, I know we're participating there as SALGA in their committee, would love to hear what is the effort that you are doing as a country to ask households to pay what is due to municipalities. I would love to hear that at one point and to discuss this. The second issue, Chair, to me as a preliminary comment on the on our presentation, is that it would be prudent enough that the Parliament to relook the 1998 White Paper on Local Government and its assumptions. 1998 White Paper on Local Government assumes that local municipality, despite its size, will be able to collect and generate revenue 80%. And that paper failed to recognize the developments into the future. Developments such as the sluggish economic performance in the world and in South Africa, and what does its impact to the payments of individuals. Thirdly, the weakness insofar as ability to understand that the infrastructure that we operate as municipalities is aging infrastructure. And if you count number of water leakages and many other things, it tells you that there should be some investment that need to be done there, including electricity. But today I'm talking about water, I won't talk about electricity. I've spoken enough about it at some point. So it would be important that the Parliament, to re-look into this white paper and its assumptions. And in the assumptions, we trust the developmental state nature of local government. And what does that mean? And what resources that should be allocated and directed to that field to, in order to render service. The third element, Chair, is we are coming from a country that has a history that we say it's wrong to pay services. And many people, including households, are not paying services. I mean, National Treasury is talking about that, that including departments of the state are not paying services to municipalities, the households. I would love it one day. I think I agree with the Minister of Treasury of Finance, what he said in Parliament last week, that let us, those that are responsible as political leaders, go to committees and say it is the right thing to pay services. Because I hear National Treasury and everybody saying this is what we must do and this is what we must do. We are not saying what we must do to those that are not paying services. Okay. Currently, Chair, you buy water, 10 rand, for indigent. And the equitable share funds that water at 8 rand. Who's going to pay the 2 rand? Where does the 2 rand come from? I thought it is important for us to highlight some of these issues. Of course, we'll talk about population and many other things and illegal connections that we experience in our country and so on. At the kernel of all these, as enshrined in the Constitution, is an expectation of the Constitution that the provincial and national government had worked cooperatively with the local government in delivering services and delivering the money that they have. So in the process, there is a weakness of cooperative work in dealing with the challenges and confronting the challenges that we are facing. The other issue, Chair, which I will stand out on this. I think if former Minister Nkwindi was in the House, we'll confirm this. In the interaction that we had with the department, as South African Local Government Association, is how do you become a referee and a player? You determine and declare tariffs of water, and there's nobody that says these tariffs are wrong. I mean, Treasury must, it should have been quoted in the provisions of the MFMA, that as you do that, you need to consult And remember is this, that you are heading towards a cul-de-sac situation, because a board will then sit down and determine. Whereas if you go to electricity, NERSA, with a different participation, so that you see objectivity on this on these matters. So I'm saying, Chair, we are dealing with a number of issues that at the end of the day land in the municipal space, and we are expected as a municipality to render service. We accept that, Chair, you must buy, and whatever that you buy, you must put a mock-up and collect. In an environment where there is a high level of non-payment or a culture of non-payment, how will you do that? I think, Chair, let me step outside, and then I think William will then walk us through into what we have prepared as a presentation.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, and thanks, Councillor Sophie, for those opening remarks. Some of the key points Councillor Sophie has indicated, but you know, my role is to amplify them. Sorry for, my sincere apologies for that. So we will then amplify and really surface some of the issues that we want to convey to the joint committees. And here is an outline of our presentation that will look at four interrelated matters. And I think of interest for us, Honourable Chairpersons, is the suggested way forward in terms of how we see the resolution of this debt. Here's a slide that excites us most as Salga, that basically defines who is who in the zoo in relation to the delivery of water. And majority of us do know that in the context of water, we call it a three-tier system where the department is charged with national security. Bulk providers provide bulk water to municipalities, and municipalities provide water to you and I. So that's the first instance. The second one is what is from a mandate point of view, what does the legislation say in terms of those three tiers? I won't go into the details. But of importance, Honourable Chairs and Members, is to note that who approves the tariffs in terms of the three tiers, right? And you would note that at tier one, the determination of tariffs is guided by the pricing strategy that has been approved by the Minister of Finance in collaboration with the Minister of Water and Sanitation. At bulk level, it's more by the board and the executive authority, which is the Minister of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation. And at the local level, it's councils. So respective councils, you know, approve the tariffs that they will be charging to you and I. So that's kind of, you know, painting a picture in terms of what is happening in that space. But importantly, Honourable Chairperson, is to indicate that, and the point Councillor Scofield made, that if all of us came to the party, Chairperson, who will not be sitting here, if one looks at who owes who in the zoo in terms of those particular three-tier system. And importantly, that in actual fact, the largest culprits is you and I. That are not actually paying for services at 118.6 billion that we owe municipalities. And when I say you and I, it's not, it's just a generic statement. It's not necessarily referring to the members.
I don't.
Please pardon me.
Can we be all that? You are representing people. When you say you, there are certain people that you represent. Not you as a person.
Oh, the people.
No. You are protected. Continue.
No, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. So we thought the slide we wanted to paint that particular picture.
Can we be orderly, colleagues, and listen to the presentation? The fact is the fact, what are you doing to encourage the communities to take forward as a public
representative? No, thanks, Honorable Chair. So these are some of the issues, Chairs, we'd like to raise in terms of our observation in, as it relates to debt. And I will not go into the details, but suffice to indicate that...
Yes, it's those ones that don't say they know on like that. They know who they are. That's why they go on like that, disrupting while we as CFS are like that.
But if no one
contacts
you around the member, you are doing the same thing that they are doing. Example that
Councillor Sophie cited, it's relevant in this context because there's an element of shortfall that we are observing. The fourth point that we also want to surface from this slide, Honourable Chairs, relates to high consumption, right, from indigenous, right? So we know that the country has a free basic policy of 6 kiloliters per month, but municipalities are incrementally increasing that allocation. In some respects, in certain geographical spaces in the country, once you say we can only afford 6 kiloliters per month, there's an observation that some indigents in Ethiopia go beyond that once you do a yard connection, because access to water is there, they'd be able then to water their gardens and do A, B, C, D, F, and in most cases they exceed the 6 kiloliters, and which basically creates difficulties in some respects for municipalities. The second last issue, Chair, that we want to highlight there is we are dealing with a historical debt here that is essentially 5 to 10 years of age, right? We've been coming to the committee over a period of time trying to look at a way of resolving this particular matter, and because of its historic nature, we were unable to really come to a reasonable conclusion. So the consequence of that, Chair, is that the sector operates in a deficit and it creates difficulties for us to sustain the services. Here is a slide that we also want to make some emphasis on. And the long and short of it, Chairperson, we are trying to do a comparison of what we owe to the department and the entity and the water trading entity and what is owed to us. And we've really disaggregated it in terms of what is sitting in the current, what is sitting in the 30 days plus, 90 days, and the 150 days. Right? So in this analysis, we're basically saying, again, if everybody came to the party, the debt that we owe to WTE and the department would be easily resolved. And you would know that the largest culprit here, and what we did, we just took the top 10 municipalities that owe WTE and the department, and obviously the biggest culprit here being Machabi local municipality. But we'll give some indication in terms of how we are addressing that matter. Here is a slide that's also interesting to citizens and members, that over the years, the sector, particularly at the municipal level, we've been providing and we still provide good services, right? And you would know that the average in the country is sitting at, 89%. So the sector is providing services at that percentage, and this is information from Stats SA. But if you look at the payment levels, and this data comes directly from the Stats survey that was released last year, you would know that the payment levels over a period of time have substantially decreased, right? And a simple question was asked in that survey to say, households, are you paying for services? And you would know that the yes in 2016 was 65%, and as of last year, the yes is 41%. Right? So there is a decrease that we're observing there. Similarly with the no, right, that it has increased substantially. So if you do your own calculations, you'll actually see that a majority of people are basically saying, thank you for providing the services, we shall not pay for. That's the bottom line, right? Municipalities, we're quite excited that you've given us good quality water, but unfortunately we will not pay for it. And it's an observation that we've actually made, and this is backed up by figures from State SA. But secondly, and this is a slide that also interest us honourable members to say, if one looks at the cost of services versus the equitable share, and I made reference to a research done by Sauga that in some instances the cost of providing services is more than what the equitable share allocates. And this is due to a number of reasons which I will not go into the detail. But the message there is, Honourable Chair, is we'll probably have to relook at our funding model as it relates to the equitable share versus the cost of providing services geographically. So we should be able to say in Limpopo, here is a benchmark that we can work with to say here's a floor about a basic services and here's a ceiling, and the equitable share must be between those two. But importantly as well, Chair, that as I've indicated, that non-revenue water is giving us a difficulty at the municipal level due to a number of reasons that we might not have to surface here today. But here is a typical example in a municipality that owes the water board a lot of money. So in the 16-17 financial year, this municipality bought bulk water to the equivalent of 550. But before they could even sell the water, they actually lost to 87. So if you could do your mathematics there, so it's 52% already lost before you could even start allocating or selling that particular water. So members and chairpersons, we're trying to paint the picture there. And here is what the committee has requested us to do, to say, how do we begin to surface solutions to this particular challenge. A lot of us have spoken about the INCT. I am not going to go into the details about it. The most important thing, chairpersons and honorable members, that we do on an annual basis, that we feel is part of the ingredients that contributes to us having this escalating debt on an annual basis, is the engagement that we have with the water boards and the in the ministry through section 42 of the MFMA, right? That there is a requirement that organized local government must give input in terms of those particular bulk tariffs. And over a period of time, I must confess, Honorable Chairs and members, that these issues that we are surfacing on a year-to-year basis, and we've done this for the last 10 years, they are not taken into account when the bulk tariffs are actually approved. Right? And this is of great concern from where we're sitting. Because we try and give a balanced approach, taking into account the importance that water boards play in this country. But we're also looking, we're contrasting it in terms of the affordability of the municipalities given their geographical space. So if you look at Mopani as an example, we want to have a deep understanding in terms of what is its affordability, looking at their characteristics, right, comparatively to the city of Joburg. That's why you will see in our analysis, Chairperson, in the next slide, that the Joburgs and the Ekurhuleni's of this world, they're sitting in current accounts, no issues, because of the economic situation. But if you go to the far north, talk to the Sukukunis, you go to the Mopanis, the characteristics of those municipalities essentially dictate that we need to adopt a different approach in terms of how we price water and how we fund it. So that's the first thing we want to surface in terms of this particular slide. But secondly, and of importance, is what we've actually outlined to say, provisions of Section 42, and you could go read it at your leisure, one of our chairs and members, it says that the water boards, before they pass their tariffs, they need to demonstrate to the executive authority how they have taken Sauga's comments and that of National Treasury into account before they actually finalize their tariffs. Right? It's quite explicit in that, but our observation is the opposite happens. Right? And that's why at some of the difficulties that we're experiencing. So this is one of the areas that we think we've been making input, and I think we'll probably need to work with the committee to say how do we best improve on it going forward, particularly in the next cycle of the tariff analysis. Also, on a year-to-year basis, we've been submitting our proposals or our recommendations to the portfolio committee, and those we can resubmit if members would wish to. So here's a typical recommendation that we make in a submission, and we will not go into the detail. But where we support water boards, we give reasons, and where we don't support, we also give reasons. And that is contained comprehensively in that submission that we made annually with to the ministry. Councillor Sofile has spoken about the meetings that we've had with the minister, and part of that outcome of that engagement was an undertaking that the department is spearheading or looking at a way of fast-tracking the establishment of a water and sanitation regulator. Because this is where we think if we have that on board, we should be able to resolve some of the issues that we are confronted with. And then also that some stakeholders such as AUTA, as an example, has also expressed an interest in terms of where is this economic regulator given how the sector is actually the state of the sector, right? And we've engaged with them, they've written us a letter, and we've engaged with them, and they were going to take this process forward to the ministry to say, going forward, they would actually like to see the establishment of that regulator. So all we're saying here is there is a lot of interest in terms of how the sector needs to be sustainable, and part of it is through an economic regulator. At an operational level, what we've done is held up jointly with the Department of Cooperative Governance, DBSA, and the Department of Water and Sanitation. We've initiated a program, a water conservation demand management program, where we put a proposal to National Treasury to fund a really national program to look at these five key areas, which I will not go into the details about it. Suffice to say that the focus of that particular proposal will hone in a lot on the social aspects, to the extent that research that we've done actually indicates that a lot of us do not even know what our monthly consumption of water is. So we're just using water, as it, it's actually in abundance because we can pay. And then the second other issue that we'll probably want to highlight is the issue of credit control and bylaws, and we'll make some suggestions to it towards our conclusion. Here are some of the interventions which are operational happening within a number of municipalities that SAUGA has been facilitating engagement between Bloom Water and Mangaung to try and see how can we resolve some of the debts, including between Citibank and Machabeng, working in collaboration with the provincial departments. And this is more or less what we have done, convening roundtables, looking at monitoring the debt through steering committees, and working with COCTA, MISA, and all those kind of institutions to see how can we resolve the debt. But importantly as well, Chair, that as recent as about a month ago or so, that there has been that intergovernmental structure that has looked in terms of how much having local municipalities would begin to pay Citibank Water. And the information that has been given to us is to say it is that commitment for much having to pay to make a payment of 2 million rands. But obviously, we'll have to monitor that with the magnifying glass to say whether is that a sustainable solution in terms of that payment. The other important issues, Chair, that we also want to highlight that at SAUGA, together with the department, we partnered with the Japanese. I'm sure we all know that the Japanese are good in water management. Their non-revenue water is actually sitting at 3%. Right? And so we partnered with them, and they've lately you know, put together for us that facility that you see in the slide. It's a simulation facility. So we are training a lot of municipalities through that facility in terms of how they need to manage their distribution system, both bulk and retail. And we've seen this as a contributor towards reducing our non-revenue. Having said that, Chair, and this, I'm moving towards the way forward. One of the things that we're also exploring at SAUGA is to look at projects that we call new money, because we know that a lot of us in the near future will be going off-grid, right? And we're seeing a lot of that, that some communities are beginning to you know, build their own or drill their own boreholes that they don't want to rely on the municipality supply. And we are working with a number of municipalities to explore means and ways of looking at new money projects such as sludge to fertilizer, waste to energy, hydropower, and all those kind of projects. Here's our suggested way forward, and we've disaggregated them into two parts. At the policy level, honorable members, one of the key things that we'll probably want to agree with your good self if this proposal makes sense, that in principle, we want to suggest that, you know, targeting infrastructure grants and equitable shares to service historical debt is not a sustainable solution. And because, you know, grants are targeted for the poor. So once you target those, you basically say to the poor, you must supplement. And we're saying we need to look at better ways of servicing the debt. We also want to suggest at the policy level that we look at the multi-year determination, and that creates a lot of stability and predictability, and look at introduction of benchmarks for expense management, and lastly, Chair, that we'll probably also have to have a national policy in terms of how we need to do investment as relates to infrastructure, so that whatever that we're going to be building, we know its sustainability in terms of tariffing. At the operational level, Chair, I think my colleagues have indicated that the IMTT process has been unfolding, but unfortunately to date, it has not yielded the results that it was anticipated, and the department confirms that. And then secondly, that we anticipate that once that non-revenue proposal is approved by Treasury, it will bring some relief. And as I've indicated, that we'll also want to look at scaling up of new income generating cost-saving projects. And the most important thing as well, Chair, here, and this is my last word, is we need to look at, through the initiative of the Honourable President about the district model, that maybe going forward we need to look at district-based credit control mechanisms, right? So that if I live in one municipal area, that I don't pay for services and I run away to the other municipal area, and that we know that the bylaws will cover me. You know, it's like tax. Whether you're in Cape Town or whether you're in Mpumalanga or wherever you are, tax will cover you. And that's the kind of mentality and approach that we would want to inculcate going forward in terms of dealing with the debt. Chairperson and honorable members, let me leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charles, for very interesting reflection. Where I come from, discussion please, and you should understand what you are discussing about and what causes this term and why such term in motion terms. I want water to present to us the COPTAP portfolio committee members, because they were not clear when it gets presented. They must repeat that presentation. And start, because water is the source and the bulk and how it goes to the quality, and including the polluters of water, which affect the carriers in the system, so that when we are going to debate, we are able to then decide on a particular decision that has sound and our people will benefit from the decision that we should actually take at the end of the time. So, water?
Good afternoon, Chair. We are going to do the presentation. But first, to comment on the issue that was mentioned by other previous speakers on the issue of the collaborative effort. Indeed, this is a very change that requires all parties to participate in order for us to win the issue of the debt. And I think one of the speakers mentioned the issue of the efforts, and I think it's National Treasurer Wade was mentioning the responsibility of the water board in terms of making collection of the money. Yes, indeed, those efforts have been made, and that's why at the end we resorted to the issue of the IGR of involving the court, and at the same time we also in the spirit of the intergovernmental relation, we looked at the issue. But the acting CFO is going to give the detailed presentation on the issue of the debts that are owed by the municipality.
Thank you, participants, members, colleagues. The presentation that is reflected there shows two parts of the presentation. I focus only on the part that relates to the municipal debt. So the first part dealt with Chairperson, the money that is owed to the entities, which I can skip for the purpose of this meeting, and I'll move to the presentation speaks to money owing to the water board by municipality. I'll cover quickly the background and the consequences of non-payment, summary of debt to the water board, the water trading entity and water board, as well as the details of municipal debt, and then the challenges, proposed solutions. My apologies, but I think there's a problem with the connection here. Yeah, I think.